his obsession.
In that gospel, we see the extraordinary manifestation of evil, like the possession by an unclean spirit. And our Lord heals the man, expels the demon, exorcises him. And we say sometimes in our spiritual life, we all need that cleansing, but for us it's more of a marathon than a sprint. It's something that takes place over the long haul rather than in a short time. Father John Harden has what's called the iron law of man's destiny. And it goes, every sense experience tends to become a thought. Every thought tends to become a desire. Every desire tends to become an action. Every action tends to become a habit. Our habits form our character, and our character determines our destiny. And we live out that on a good level or on a bad level. Like, good sense experiences would be like spiritual reading, listening to religious CDs, which give us good thoughts and desires, actual graces that lead us to perform good actions, form good habits called virtues, leading us to a good character and a good destiny of heaven. On the negative side, sense experiences that are negative would be called occasions of sin. Occasions of sin are persons, places, things that lead me to sin. And they vary with each person. Occasion of sin is putting myself into the occasion of temptation. And temptation is the invitation to sin. Okay? And normally, temptation respects my free will. It's an invitation. I could say yes or no. But when I put myself into the occasion of sin, I put myself into the occasion of temptation. And there's no guarantee of grace in those situations where I deliberately like put myself into those situations. Okay. We say, and temptations often lead to bad actions. Bad actions form bad habits. We call them vices, which lead to bad character and a bad destiny. That work of forming habits, virtues and vices, we describe virtues as spiritual muscles in our lives. Like physically we exercise and we acquire muscles, but there's work in the process of acquiring those muscles. Spiritually too, it's a process to acquire virtues. It's difficult. It takes effort and struggle. But once we possess muscles, it's easy to use them. Well, so it is with virtues. Once we acquire a virtue, the use of the virtue is easy. Asceticism is that effort or exercise in the pursuit of virtue. Just people go to the gym to grow stronger physically. Well, asceticism helps us toward Christian perfection, to build a strong character. To build a strong soul. And we say the ordinary manifestation of evil is original sin. That's our first encounter. And fighting the effects of our actual sins, the habits that we acquire. The effects of original sin are threefold. Like, we have three faculties in our souls, an intellect, a will, and a heart, a center of emotions. And original sin kind of slam dunks those three centers in us. Our intellect becomes clouded, our will becomes weakened, and our emotions become passions. Okay? They become out of control, no longer subject to reason. Like, what a clouded intellect means is that instead of seeing black and white, instead of seeing right and wrong, good and evil, we see gray. Like if you ask people about a moral question, often they don't see clearly the distinction between what's right and what's wrong, but they see this gray. They're in a fog because original sin clouds the intellect. It's the truth that dispels the fog, that clears the windshield. Okay. And also, sometimes I can know what's true, but my will is weak. Even though I know what I should do, I end up choosing things I shouldn't do. Like we say, my will is weak. One teacher I had used to say that his will was like a UN resolution. UN passes resolution, often nothing changes. It's same old, same old. Well, sometimes my will doesn't have any effect in reality. It doesn't change what I do or who I am. Okay? We have a weakened will, but grace strengthens our will. Grace fortifies our will with the grace of fortitude, spiritual courage. And like we say, the third effect is that my emotions became passions. Like Jesus Christ had emotions, but he didn't have unruly desires, which we call passions. The analogy is a man riding a horse is asked, "Where are you going?" And his response is, "Don't ask me, ask the horse." And what happens is our lower nature governs our higher nature. When our passions become unruly, our desires become unruly. It's like the inmates are running the asylum. Like St. Augustine says that when man rebelled against God, man's lower nature rebelled against his higher nature. And that's concupiscence. That's the effect of original sin. Sometimes we use the analogy of, it's like pushing a shopping cart, and one wheel of the shopping cart is always pulling me off in the wrong direction. It requires a constant correction, a constant redirection on course so I don't hit the display or run into other people. And so we say our spiritual life is often more of a marathon than a sprint. Over the long haul, by good experiences, by spiritual reading, religious CDs, or by learning more about our faith and reading the lives of the saints, we acquire those thoughts and desires that lead us to virtue, and good actions and virtue form a character, lead us to that destiny of heaven. But the spiritual life is always the work of God in us. We can dispose ourselves, but as much as the exorcism in that gospel, our freedom from sin and from evil is always the work of grace and Christ in us. So we pray for that grace to be transformed, converted. Perhaps not from serious sin, but more from mediocrity to totality.